We cannot solve the environmental crisis without solving social problems. These are the words of libertarian socialist Murray Bookchin. In effort to explore human and ecologically sound alternatives to capitalism, we've contacted Daniel Chordakov. Daniel is co-founder with Bookchin of the Institute for Social Ecology. Currently, he is the executive director of the ISE. He joins me today to give us an introduction to social ecology and libertarian municipalism. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to Co-op Radio.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
So I quoted Murray Bookchin in my introduction. Can you begin by outlining, I quoted him as saying, we cannot solve the environmental crisis without solving social problems. Can you begin by outlining how these ideas form social ecology?
Yes, certainly. I think, if anything, the quote you read is an understatement. From the perspective of social ecology, all ecological problems are social problems. First nature, or what's commonly referred to as the natural world itself, does not create problems. It's humans' abuse of and disregard for the natural world that create environmental problems and environmental crises. This is not to say that humans stand outside of nature. We are certainly a part of nature, but we have a distinct role to play. And social ecology actually locates the attempt to dominate nature in relationships of domination between people. Forms of hierarchy and domination are a precondition for an attitude which views first nature, the natural world, as mere resource there to be exploited by us, and essentially removes us or privileges us in relation to the rest of nature. So it's an opposition to those attitudes, and very importantly, the institutionalized forms that those attitudes take in terms of hierarchical forms of social organization, hierarchical forms of economics, relationships of domination. All of that is essential to social ecology and to our understanding of the ecological crisis.
So what kind of principles does social ecology derive from these explorations of natural history and evolution?
Well, we look at nature as natural history and as an evolutionary process, and as such, we try to tease out some principles that inform social ecology's view of the current crises that we find ourselves in the midst of. Foremost among those principles is an understanding that in natural systems there's unity and diversity, that the greater the biodiversity in an ecosystem, the more stable that system is. The more unified, the more able to resist fluctuations in population in individual species. There's a unity, a sum, which is greater than the whole of the parts. And it is largely a function of diversity. Now, social ecology takes that principle and doesn't apply it in a literal sense, but understands that that principle has to inform our social organization and social relations if we are ever to achieve an ecological society. Another important principle is that in natural systems, there are no hierarchies. Often we hear references to the lion as the king of the beast or the lowly ant, but that's really a projection of hierarchies in human society onto first nature. Nature itself, of course, functions through a system of interrelationships. A web is a much apter metaphor for a natural system than a chain, for example.
So what role does capitalism have in all this?
Well, capitalism, of course, is an expression of hierarchy. It's an expression of the simplification, both of natural systems and of social systems. It's a very efficient way to produce, but it's a very destructive way to relate to the natural world. And this is an outgrowth directly of our attitudes of hierarchy and domination.
So the one of the vigorous struggles against capitalism right now is the anti-corporate globalization movement, and it's been struggling for fair rules for global trade. And we saw in the Battle of Seattle the Teamsters, the Union of Teamsters and Turtles, and many other links since then. And there's also a large anarchist contingent involved in this movement. How does social ecology see itself in relation or in participation with these movements?
Well, certainly many social ecologists have been involved in organizing various convergences. We've been very active in anti-globalization and anti-capitalist work. I think, though, that social ecology brings a little different perspective. Our concern is not so much with reforming trade relationships as it is with transforming the underlying structures of our society. Social ecology is a radical discipline. We insist that we get to the root of these problems. And frankly, personally, I don't believe that tinkering with trade rules really gets to the source of these problems. Rather than looking to create a centralized global system dominated by huge corporations, we need to think in terms of forms of ecologically based community development in which communities can rely on locally based, renewable, non-polluting energy sources rather than buying into a fossil fuel based economy, in which communities can begin to create food security instead of becoming part of a global food system, which is an extremely vulnerable system and a very destructive system. So we're really looking at a much more basic critique than I think that which is offered by much of the anti-globalization movement. And certainly we participate in that movement. Individuals involved with social ecology have played a leadership role in that movement. But it's a movement which we see as part of a larger process of transformation that has to occur, which is really oriented towards a very different set of values and relationships.
So part of that process, that of the long-term process that social ecology has, is also the process of painting a positive picture. Some of the movements that, like the anti-globalization movement, all different kinds of strains, but social ecology has an ecological politics, libertarian municipalism, and I'm wondering if you could sketch, if you can connect these to paint a picture of the world, the world social ecology envisions.
Yes, certainly, and I think you've emphasized a very important social ecology as, quite frankly, a utopian perspective. Not utopian in the sense of cloud cuckoo land, but utopian in the sense that we dare to envision a future that transcends the given, that moves beyond the kind of mechanistic projection of what is, to think about what could be. What could be, of course, which is based in existing possibilities and potentialities, not something based simply on fantasy. And using that kind of thought, social ecology has developed an approach to politics which attempts to take on the centralized powers of the state by creating participatory democracy at the local level. And for this, it's a movement which Bookchin calls libertarian municipalism. In this process, what we envision is beginning to create structures of dual power, drawing on traditions like the New England town meeting. I live in Vermont. We still have town meeting government here, where towns gather in a face-to-face, directly democratic fashion to make decisions that affect those communities. And social ecology would envision this kind of local assembly going on in small towns, in cities, where you can break down into humanly scaled neighborhoods and create face-to-face democracy. I've seen this happen myself working on the Lower East Side in New York City. It can happen in New York. It can happen anywhere. And then, of course, the next step would be to begin to confederate these local democratic bodies and coordinate action on a regional level and ultimately a continental level and begin to create a dual power, a structure which allows for a real redefinition of politics in a very basic way, and would of course result in ultimately the kind of ecological society that social ecology envisions. The other thing I would want to mention is that social ecology thinks we have to move beyond protest. Protest is important. That kind of oppositional politics is crucial, particularly in light of what's going on in the world today. But we also believe there has to be a reconstructive aspect to politics and to movements for social change, so that we must protest, yes, but we must also begin to create counter-institutions which are prefigurative, which embody our ideals and our aspirations, which give people the experience of functioning in a directly democratic way, albeit in a limited sphere, at least initially, and begin to create institutions and relationships that can take the society in a very different direction from the one in which it's currently moving.
Well, thank you very much, Dan, for taking the time to join us.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling, Chris. And if people are interested in getting any more information about these ideas, I would suggest that they check out the Institute for Social Ecology's website, which is at social-ecology.org.
Okay, I'll repeat that for our listeners. Thanks, Dan.
Oh, thank you very much, Chris. Bye.
Bye. I've been speaking to Daniel Chortikoff. Daniel is co-founder and executive director of the Institute for Social Ecology. If you would like to find out more, you can visit their website at socialecology.org.